Okay, everybody, so before we begin learning from the Sefer directly, I'd just like to say a few things. First of all, after we finish tonight, those that would like to learn some selected pieces from the Sefer Pele Yoetz, I learned with Arya Friedman Pele Yoetz for quite a while. We have some special pieces that we picked out. If you want to join us, Arya's rather not here tonight, but I'm happy to do it. It takes, like, altogether max 10 minutes. It's just short. The Pele Yoetz works out the Seder Aleph base. So it's just like little pieces that we'll pick out. Tonight's piece that I've been saving is a piece on Nivel Peh, which is really very, very spooky, but a short piece, and I think that it can be very informative. That's the first thing. The other thing is like this. When we bring people to speak in yeshiva, so it's always nice to expose you to new different types of speakers and new ideas, but we don't necessarily always know what they're going to say before they get up, and we don't always agree with them. So I just want to speak a little bit about the speech that we had on Sunday night. Now, first of all, I have tremendous regard and respect for Rabbi Hartman. What I'm going to say now in no way lessens my regard. If you argue with someone, that means that you respect them to the point that you feel that what they said is worthy of your critique, which is the case. I have a lot of respect for him. Now, when I spoke in Hasmo, so I was speaking in front of the boys, and he, you know, argued with me in front of everybody, which was fine. But I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to argue with him now, because he can't argue back. But he made some phenomenal points and some very good jokes. And some phenomenal points. Really, it was an exceptional speech. But I have to take up some issues with some of the things he said. And again, it's not because, you know, this is not, we're not talking about taking pot shots or getting upset or angry, nothing. So much regard, amazing, wonderful person, accomplished so much in his life. But at the same time, I still do disagree with some of the things they said. Rabbi Hartman spoke about the need to know, understand, and be able to describe why you're doing things and understanding what they're about. And if you can't explain to me what the, what was the word we used, motif of Shabbos is, so then you haven't even entered into the world of Shabbos. Because you don't know what it is. You know what Sukkos is and Zman Simchasenu. What Shabbos? Does anyone here know what Shabbos is? So Rabbi Yisai, I want to tell you something. And a lot of what I'm saying really has to do with the Sefer. Sefer Chovetz Talmidim. He has a mimer on Shabbos. Sefer Chovetz Talmidim in the back has a mimer on Shabbos. It's a beautiful mimer. One of the things he writes in the mimer is, you see, Vaser Treger. You have the Yid, he carries the water. He's the water carrier. There's big buckets on the back of this pole, and you carry it, you know, up to, they schlep all the water. And he's all bent over, and he, you know, he's like a looks like half broken Yid, and he looks like always so, he's always so haggled, he's always like so worn down, beaten. Somehow Shabbos comes, and he has this punim, and he shines with the light of Shabbos. And he looks so dehoibin, the water carrier, dehoibin and beautiful. I want to ask you a question. You go over to the water carrier. You say, water carrier, what is the motif of Shabbos? I'm telling you, he doesn't know Aleph Beis. He can't read. You know, man, in Europe, everyone was illiterate. They don't know the Rav Hutner's Pachad Yitzchak on the side of Shabbos. He has no clue. He knows one thing. Shabbos koida, Shabbos koida. That's all he knows. You know, it's gefilte fish, gala. He's enjoying the Shabbos. He's loving Shabbos. He has no clue what the Yisoid and the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is. Kedusha Eloi, Kedusha Tatoi, and it's Kedusha that Sisarusa to this and that. He doesn't know any of that stuff. And you're telling me he doesn't touch Shabbos? No way. I want to ask you a question. Some of us like chocolate ice cream. Some of us like vanilla ice cream. Can you explain to me why you like chocolate ice cream and not vanilla ice cream? Can you explain that to me? Many of us can articulate there are certain shades and there's an aftertaste and there's, you know, that they write on the bottles with the wine and stuff like that. Many of us cannot. I like chocolate. Why? Because that's what I like. Does that mean I like it less than you do because you have the ability to articulate it? Does that mean I don't like it? Does it mean I don't like Shabbos? Just because I can't say, you know, all I don't know the Mamori Chazal? Is that what it means? Really? Person says, I don't love Yiddishkeit. Why? Because I can't get into the depths and all that stuff. It's not true. Now, I told over a beautiful story about Rav Shimon Schwab. Rav Shimon Schwab was by the Chofetz Chaim. And I also learned in Breuers, and I also heard the story from Rav Schwab. And he left that one critical point. Rav Schwab's story was as follows. He was by the Chofetz Chaim, Dachsach Friday night, between Menucha and Maariv. The Chofetz Chaim was telling over the Dvar Torah and Shul, higher and higher, and he said the following thing. He said, it says in Chazal, that the man tastes like whatever you want it to taste like. Whatever you think about, that's what the man tastes like. Tastes whatever a person has in his mind when he's eating the man, that's the taste of the man. And what happens if you're not thinking about anything? Frek the Chofetz Chaim, what does it taste like? Says the Chofetz Chaim, if you think about nothing, it tastes like nothing. Says the Chofetz Chaim, the same thing is true with Torah. He had a sefer, and he picked up the Chumash, and he kissed it, and he said, Torah is a zoiziz, and if you're not thinking while you're learning, it tastes like nothing. Chofetz Chaim is talking about Limud HaTorah. A lot of people are learning, and they're not even trying to understand. They're just going through motions, and the Torah tastes dry, and it's like nothing. It's, you know, and it's just, let's turn the page, and turn another page, and nothing. Chofetz Chaim said you have to be maimik when you're doing the mitzvahs. Did he say that? I don't see that in that story. Because he was talking about Torah. Now, let's get clear. Would you say that a person that enjoys drinking wine and is having, like, enjoying the wine has the same geschmack as a connoisseur? The same geschmack. I was one time, I was out, my father gives a chesed, you know, we were out at a restaurant, my father sitting next to us was Mr. Herzog and a bunch of these wine connoisseurs. They had so much wine on the table. Yeah, you know, these, you know, all these, you know, chush of a wine connoisseurs, big fat bellies wearing like these jackets. I thought they'd be like sophisticated people, not at all. They were like just, you know, a bunch of drunks, which is like, they do it for a living, you know, that's it, they're drunk for a living. There's so much wine on the table. It's a connoisseurs, they understand hints of blackberry and currant and chocolate and overtures and over. So they got it, right? Do they appreciate it more? Yeah, I think they do. They definitely do. You want to appreciate Shabbos more? You learn Shabbos Malkasa. You learn the Maimer of the Piyasetzni. You learn Sefer Shabbos Ayom Hashem. You learn, for sure, you could get a deeper appreciation and it'll enhance and it'll mean more to you. But to say that until you can explain the difference between Parsha Rishon of Shema and the second Parsha of Shema, so there's no purpose or you have no feeling or doubt, you can't. So I disagree because I want to tell you the truth. You know, he asked the question, what's the difference between first Parsha and second Parsha? Someone here said the first Parsha, second Parsha is Schar V'Oinish. Someone say that? Yeah. Jimmy? That's a great answer.
Thank you.
That is a great answer. And someone said one is Lashon Yachid, the other one's Lashon Rabim. Someone said that. That is a great answer. And I want to tell you something. I don't even know what he wanted. So to say that we can't do this without it, we can try to enhance it for sure. For sure. The more we learn, the better we appreciate it. The more we become connoisseurs of Yiddishkeit. The more we can appreciate tefillin. If you get into all the depths, you can keep going and going and going. And I want to tell you something else. There are people in the world that can ask questions, that can put all of, you know, these different types of people to shame and ask them, how do you know that I don't know the answer to that question? So you haven't even entered into Yiddishkeit. Every one of us is still trying to figure it out. Moshe Rabbeinu was 120 years old. And he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Ato hachiloisa laharois is abdecha, is godlecha. Hashem, I'm just starting. I'm just beginning. I'm just touching the surface. I'm just beginning." Who knew more than Moshe Rabbeinu? And Moshe Rabbeinu was a beginner. So someone stands here and makes you feel like a beginner. We are. Does that mean we're doing something like we're off base? Does that mean that we're not in it? We're as in it as Moshe Rabbeinu. Because he's beginning, we're beginning. So does that mean we shouldn't continue? We should push and try to understand as much as we can. But we are in Shabbos. We're enjoying Shabbos. And we're loving it. And we're enjoying davening and everything that are involved in our Yiddishkeit. That's the way that I would present this to you based on the Piyasetzna. Now, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to be learning more Piyasetzna. We're going to be learning more the Sefer Chovetz Talmidim. And hopefully, as time goes on, we'll see that he speaks about this. I believe he speaks mamash about this Nakuda. And what the problem is, now what Rabbi Hartman, Zalzayin Gazon, Rabbi Hartman, Shlita, tremendous, he's a great person. But what he's suggesting is the problem nowadays, it's because no one's thinking. And you're not thinking, you're not getting into the, you don't know, and you have to, it has to be all, it's very intelligent. He's a very intelligent person. It's all about being intelligent and being smart and knowing and knowledge. I want to suggest something else. This I heard from Zachariah Wallerstein. He said it, actually, I believe, by a convention in America. He's talking about the fight between Yaakov and Esav and about the dust. Some of you, we spoke about this a little bit recently. The dust, not the Kisei Yaakov, but he said the pshat is that Torah has lost its shine. It's lost its shine. When something is dusty, it looks old, it doesn't have any glamour to it. If something would be exciting, even if you don't understand it exactly, you can enjoy it. Enjoy it because it's lost its excitement. That's not intellectual, that's emotional. And I think that our problem that we have, what we have to work on, is being emotionally connected, being emotionally committed. We do that, then all that other stuff will eventually come into place, it'll fall into line. But we'll continue learning. We'll learn more about Shabbos, we'll learn more about Kashrus, we'll learn more about tzitzis, about everything. But if we're emotionally committed to this, so then we're good. All of the Heilige Babas, all the tefillahs we spoke about in Europe, all the mamas, they cried tears. They knew. They knew even what the words, I don't even know if they knew what the words meant. They didn't go to school. There was no Beis Yaakov. They had no school. And they sat there and they davened their eyes out. What's that? That's one thing. It's an emotional connection a person has. That is what we have to make sure that we can. That's something that even if a person hasn't gotten there, you can still love it. So, I hope you don't tell Hartman that we had this little conversation still between us and our recorders. But as I said, it's not in no way am I trying to grate the Hartman's opinion. He's entitled to his opinion, and also the person, a tremendous person. I think it's a very big schus that we had him here. He came and he graced the yeshiva. And a lot of the things that he said are definitely very valid, including the fact that we should all be working much more on our ideas. Klalius, like Chumash Rashi. That's why we instituted the Chumash Rashi Shir right after Mincha and other things. So let's get going on over here with the Chovetz Talmidim. My friends, we're here speaking about some of the issues that we got. let's see where we're up to. Does anyone know where we're up to? Here we are. Page Yudalit. Is that okay? Is that okay? Where is the talk? We're on Tesvav, but we're going to go back to Yudalit for a second, folks. And the Rebbe is going to try to give us a very calculated, a very exact description. He's going to try to give us an analysis of the situation. What is going wrong? What is going wrong over here? There's something going wrong that people keep on falling out. Lo b'hasharas, we're not going to give, you know, vague hasharas, like just an estimation. Rak b'chukim eisonim, we said this last time. Strong, very, very definite laws. Uvdois chazakos, facts. Aleinu Levar. We have to explain. Berishoina. What's the difference between the different generations? Why is it in the previous generations? Whatever type of chinuch you had worked. Whatever they did, Rebbeim used to smack the kids. I have a cousin. He told me he used to hang him on a hook in the back of the class. Back and forth. The Rebbe was just momish. Back in the day, they had to change the name of the school. It had such a bad reputation. The school stayed open, but they changed the name. But now, and those kids, they're fine. They have a little bit of baggage, but overall, they're still around. You know, why is it nowadays? You know, you just tap a Talmud, and all of a sudden, you know, he's got issues. Whatever. We're from a previous generation, you know what I'm saying?
They better be part of it.
Yeah, 100%. Here we go. So, what's the reason? Lama b'derech hakomer lama kol chinuch shehem oil. Talmid kol malamed ubnei kol av. Talmid of any teacher and the children of any father. Rubam kekulam ayoiv di Hashem. Not everyone, but most of them. Lo kenata, not anymore. What's the reason? Nowadays, so many people, it's so much more difficult to do chinuch nowadays. Be so much more careful. This is the main reason. This is the simple reason. A child, he thinks already that he's already a man. He really thinks that he's mature before it's already come his time. We're not just making this up. The entire world is complaining about this. We're not explaining the reason right now. We're not telling you why it is that young boys all of a sudden feel like they are licensed to have an opinion, licensed already to establish themselves, that they have they can control their life. That's the facts. This ruach shtus, there's something like this like a wind or a current in the world. He already decides. He knows. He already has an opinion. He already has. He knows what he wants. He knows where he's going. He knows what's good for him. He's still a person that's changing his mind. You know, if I would, you know, through my entire my metamorphosis as a human being. So when I was a little boy, I wanted to be a fireman, as most of us did. Right? I wanted to be a fireman. Then I wanted to be a policeman. Then I wanted to be a baseball player. Yeah. That lasted for a while, by the way. Then I wanted to be a lawyer. And then, actually, I wanted to be a doctor before that. Because I won the dental award when I was in 12th grade. So the dentist told me, as I'm standing there wearing, I won the award, you should be a dentist. I'm going to be a dentist. And then I wanted to be a lawyer. And then I wanted to be a pulpit rabbi. You know, yeah, stand up there and give fiery sermons. You know, but... You know, you change your mind so many times over the course of your life because you don't know what you want. And I told my mom, Mom, I think after my high school, I was 15 years old. I graduated a little young because the school just wanted to, like, get rid of me. So, Mom, I want to take off a few years and play baseball. And my mom said, no, you're not doing that. I said, but Mom, I love baseball. This is my passion. And, you know, and, you know, Baruch Hashem, my mother was smart enough to say, you know, you are not an adult. You are a child. You do not know what's good for you. But sometimes people feel like they're licensed to their opinion. This is my passion. I've been playing baseball since I'm 9 years old. I love baseball. I want to play baseball the rest of my life. And they go with that. Why? Because once they've established that this is what they want to do, so no one's entitled to tell me what I'm going to do. I'm going to go chase my dream. And become the first religious major league baseball player. I told you about Coach Terry, right? I told you about that. The Chacham told us about this. Comes the times of Mashiach, and there's a tremendous chutzpah that comes, and audacity comes into the world. Lots of audacity. It's a chutzpah. What, you're 15 years old, and you think you're ready, you know what you want to do with the rest of your life? And you're not going to listen to anyone? No direction? You have the audacity to think you know better than all the people that care about you? I know. I can rely on myself. I don't have to listen to anybody else. There's something that has become such a terror. It's so infectious. It has spread so much. The littlest children. They have the same, like this feeling of independence. They already feel like, you know, no one else can tell them what to do. Okay, this is where we're up to. There's two terrible things that come from this. First thing is, because of this, any person that's trying to be a guide, milamed, teacher, mechanech, educator, mabir hanar, kal oritz zar. He's like some sort of foreign dictator. You're trying to control my life? You're trying to tell me what to do? Who do you think you are? Okay, I know what I want. And anyone else that tries to give him any type of direction, he's like resistance. Shabalim shal olav. He's trying to rule him, control him. Biyad chazoka v'lishlol mimenu shilton atzmis. You're taking away my independence. I can't deal with it. You're choking me. Because they don't want to hear anyone's opinion. They're not open to that. So kids already are feeling like no one has the right to tell me what to do. And anyone that does, they resist. Umin hisnagdus, there's a resistance. Af sina, a hatred. Misoireres bekerev hanar pnima. Inside of him, there's something in there. He hates it. El malamdo va'aviv. To his teachers, his rebbeim, and his parents. Ad she'ein anoisin lev l'shmayis divreim. He's not really listening. Ech. To try to process them, try to incorporate them. Rak echlihi poter mehem. Velotzeis min yudehem. He just wants to be able to get around them. Just get around his Rebbe, just get around his parents, just try to avoid it. But he's not really listening. That's one major problem. When children feel a license to have their own opinions, v'hashniya, and the second one, efsher gedoyla pirtzasa min arishon, is maybe even worse. He shebirishoyna sheishis ayelav atzmusoloi miaru. Originally, back in the day, when it didn't happen so fast. The personality, individuality of a child wasn't coming so fast. Liz Gabel, Liz Gado Boido Boiso, when it was still unripe. Gamhar Goshoisov, Bideoisov, Ubichlal Kol Ashkafoisov, Shifoisov Loimeru. Also, his feelings. When a person hasn't yet developed, so his feelings haven't yet, his Hargoshes, his Deos, which is his outlook. Kol Ashkafoisov, Shifoisov. Lo miru lispateach koidem zmano. Hasn't come out before the time. Min niyor cholokaya yeled. Child. He was like clean slate. There's nothing there. Benefesh tohoira. It's pure. Lekabel es atzurois ves adiburim asher yirshamu alav moirav rabbeisav. He's open to listening, to hearing, and he's impressionable because there's nothing else there. You don't have to wipe anything else away. You don't have to remove preconceived notions because he knows, I don't know anything. And therefore, what his rebbeim and his parents actually yishmal of moriv rabbeisav, the heim be'emes safu lo k'tayra, and they soak it up like a sponge. They soak it up. They hear everything that's being told them, and they listen, and they get it. Lo divorim bilvad. It's not only words. Ragames nafshoyseim bo yachnisu va'al nafshom chorsu. It goes into their nefesh, into their soul. It gets ingrained on them. V'hoya kasher ischilu acharkach nitzone nefesh hayeled. When it starts afterwards to develop, hargoshoyisav shifoyisav ma'at ma'at lihisnoitzitz. It starts to build. It starts to flourish. It starts to grow. Matzu kvar nar doshin bedushin shel tayra. You find someone that Torah is natural for him. Because he never knew anything else. Because as a little kid, he knew I was just a little kid. I was doing baby stuff. V'shomein, mishemen, mishchas kodesh. He's like, he has the shomein is the fat or the oil of mishchas kodesh. It's just going to add more and more and more. V'neshama yisera lahatzmiach. Which will flourish, will add on the Torah of Avodas Hashem, Asher Achnisu Bar Abayisev, Behem Hischanech, Kudushoisem Yes Ragel, which means as follows. We all know there's some people out there that they were like born like with a Reb Chaim in their hand. You know what I mean? Those Brisker guys that, you know, in the crib they have pictures of the Gedolim hanging over their bed, you know, and their father's learning next to their crib like the whole night. And, you know, like I know someone who his first word out of his mouth, honest, was Rambam. That was his first word. Rambam. Those people, it's like, you know, there are such people like that, but most of us were not that way. But even the ones that weren't. But when we were children, it was just childish. And when we're ready to mature, we're ready to move into a whole new realm of, okay, now let's talk about what's serious. And now there's like nothing that happened before was something that we really took that seriously because it was children. But if a person as a child takes himself seriously, so then he's got all these impressions, all these opinions, all these things that he feels or things that he knows, and now we've got to like undo all that stuff. And everything's happening too early. Because child at the age is not ready for understanding that there's depth. We're ready for depth. So everything's just superficial. It's like a nice shiny car. So wow, it looks so nice, it's so exciting. Yeah, however exciting you're going to make a Gemara, however shiny you're going to make it, it's not going to be as exciting as a Rambam. Unless you're unless you're a person that has depth. As a child, we don't have depth. And the problem is that people already they've like committed themselves to their childish ideas, superficiality. There seems to be, I don't know, Rabbi Strecher probably knows better than me, seems to be a minimizing of the amount of kids that are coming to Eretz Yisrael to like at-risk yeshivas and those types of things. I've been speaking about it a lot with a lot of different people. Yeshivas like Kesher, there was a yeshiva called Netzach is gone, Neve, all these yeshivas are shrinking. They're all shrinking. What's the pshat? So, I tell you what I think the pshat is. I think the pshat is that in order to get into these yeshivas, you have to be 16, 17, something like that, 18, something like that. By the time these kids are 12, they're done. They're finished. We already decided, it's not for me, I'm out of here. So, at risk, you have to open at-risk yeshivas for 12-year-olds because they've already made their decision. They're not used to be back in the day. No one decided at 12 years old that they want to like forsake their religion and become this. So you're too young. You're not old enough to make an opinion about it. You might not be happy, might not enjoy, might this and that. But nowadays, everyone's made their decision already. So there is people in and there's people out. At-risk is like, you know, I'm not sure if I'm in or I'm out. There's not that many of them anymore. They never made their decision. I want to tell you something frightening. There are doctors that have come up with the technology, the ability to inject hormones into children. That they can make a man into a woman. Now, they can only do that while they're still growing. So they do it when the kids are, you know, 11, 12, I don't remember what the exact window is. So if a child at the age of 11 walks into a doctor and says, I know I'm a boy, but I want to be a girl, the doctor gives them injections that are irreversible. And for the rest of his life, he is going to look, aside for certain major organs, which he's going to have to deal with later, but the rest of his body is going to look like a girl. He will not get facial hair. He will have other changes. And the same is true the other way around. If a girl decides that she likes playing with a baseball bat more than a Barbie, then they can inject her with hormones that she grows facial hair and has a deeper voice. Now, why is this frightening to me? It's frightening to me because she's 8 years old! For goodness sake, she has two brothers, so she wants to be a boy! You're gonna let her change her entire life now? My sister, who's exceptional tzaddikas. So my brothers, she has three older brothers, so they told her every girl when she gets older becomes a boy. She's the only girl and three boys. That's what they convinced her of that. Or at least they tried very hard to convince her of that. But you grow up with three older brothers, you know, you want to be a boy, especially if they keep on telling you you want to be a boy. Kids are making that type of decision? Irreversible? But you know what? Nowadays, kids are already, you know, they feel capable. They're given that they can choose for themselves a path. And it's very, very difficult to deal with if you're trying to give them some sort of education. It's coming to give them some sort of direction. And that's where we are. So this is the problem. Lo yichein ato. She'ishius va'atzmus ha'yeled mimaheres lehisgabel lehisgadel koydim zmanoi. The ishius, the individuality of a child, is coming before it's ready, before it's ripe. Gam she'ifoisav de'yoisav ashkafoisav mimaheres lespateach bo'oidim boiser marim arisiyim. They're still bitter. Just like a fruit. You pick an orange off the tree before it's ready, it tastes horrible. You gotta wait until it ripens. And they're busy exploring as children. Even things they're not supposed to look at. Like he's a man for himself. He gets like excited about things because he's still a child. Is it possible from this type of intellect, this type of das, how goshois of ispilus arsius is poisonous? Tis rakemna sheifus vashkafus lepsulas rulas. Is it possible that we're not going to get out a very warped hashkafa, a very warped direction in life? Is it possible? A person is not prepared to have that das. I heard once from Rav Mati Berger that the chait of Adam Rishon, of eating from the Eitz Hadas, Tov Hara, is that he was supposed to eat first on the Eitz Chaim. The Eitz Chaim is the Eitz of life, the Eitz of experience. You eat from the Eitz Hadas, you want to know things before you have the experience. You can't do that. And kids feel like, okay, I have an opinion, I know already. How do you know? I know. I mean, there's other people that know, that they've been through life, they have a little bit more experience than you. I'm not interested in that. That's the challenge that we have. This is the problem that we face. The question is what to do about it. That, Be'ez Hashem, will continue with.